ready when you are.
Okay, for anyone listening at home and for our proponents, good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board, pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 1 p.m. The date is December 3rd, 2014. We're in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room at 1700 Broadway, Suite 200, Denver, Colorado. Today we only have two members on the Title Board, which is a legal quorum, so we can act, assuming we have two votes. Both of us agree for any action. My name is Jason Gellender. I'm the representative of Dan Cardin, the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services. To my right is David Blake, Deputy Attorney General, the designee of Attorney General John Southers. Also to my left is a Stephen Ward, Secretary of State Elections Division. And then Leanne Morrill, Assistant Deputy Attorney General, who represents the Title Board, is on the far right. Today we're meeting to consider title setting for one proposed measure, proposed initiative 2015-16 number 5 concerning recall of officers. For anyone who wishes to testify, I don't see anyone here, but there is a sign-up sheet at the back table. We are broadcasting this. Procedures, we're going to follow three steps today. First, we might want to ask the proponents some questions, so we'll start with that. Second, we'll determine if we have jurisdiction to set a title, which essentially requires us to find that the measure has a single subject. If we do find that we have jurisdiction, then we'll use the staff draft to prepare a title. So with that, do the proponents want to quickly present their initiative?
Well, we've seen the initiative before, so to fix up the recall provisions in the Constitution. It's a part of the Constitution that hasn't been used for almost 100 years until just recently, and it's because the text is very confused and conflicting, and so we're going to clean that up with this and make this a smoother process. Also, I might note that we went through this in the spring and that we do have a title that was approved by this board that covers the same initiative. And so if we want to go with that, start with that and make any modifications that need to be done, we can. Natalie presented you with copies of that.
Okay. I'll start with some questions. You've referred to this as the same initiative. Of course, we had a little bit of a hitch with that last year when this was 2013-14 number 76, and the title board set a title. The Colorado Supreme Court reversed us and found that the initiative had multiple subjects. What have you changed, if anything, to address that issue?
The major change we would find is that the Supreme Court seemed to find especially a problem with the judicial classification of judicial officers, and that in Colorado we read judicial officers are generally appointed and then retained. So we cleaned the language to explain that a judicial officer only after retention has passed a retention, then they will fall under these classifications.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, beforehand, in keeping with the original part of the Constitution, we had a provision for recalling people who were not elected, who were just officers or heads of departments, but that provision is no longer in the recall initiative. However, I don't think that was addressed in the title from last time.
I would like to add that it wasn't a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court. Two of the justices agreed with the title board's title setting board's title and with our interpretation of the Constitution, but the majority did not find in favor of us. So,
okay.
Dave Blake, so two questions. One was, where in the opinion do you see that distinction regarding where the Supreme Court draws the distinction between once they're retained, it views it as being an elected office, as opposed to, I think, maybe a broader reading of it, which is elected officials having classically been elected statewide officials and judges being different as a class.
Right.
And do you have a particular portion of the Supreme Court opinion where you see that distinction being drawn by them?
It will take me a moment to find that with the ruling that we've got here. So
then I have one other question on that, but take your time.
It's fine. Okay, that's that part. What section is this?
All right, well, we're looking on page 7. I'm not sure what section that is.
Yeah, and you don't have the ruling, correct?
So you're just going to have the opinion.
You do have the opinion?
Okay.
So then I think it's page 7 of the opinion. About halfway down the page, it talks about they think it's a new constitutional right to recall non-elected officers. And even though we felt that the original text said non-elected officers could be recalled, they felt that that was a new thing. So now we've removed that from this recall initiative.
And keep in mind, our statement is based upon the fact that we just got to page 7 and it's been a few months since we reviewed.
Well, it's kind of important because we're bound by the Supreme Court decision. So the fact that it was unanimous last year is not, I don't think that's controlling here. It's the opinion that I think is controlling, or at the very least, it's more than persuasive. I think it's controlling. So there, how you've redrafted it and how you've addressed their concern is a big deal, at least to me. How your modification to the definition of elective officials, how you've tweaked that or modified it in order to address the opinion is important. And I didn't necessarily see the interpretation that you put forward clearly in here. And that may be your interpretation. I'm just
right.
Asking whether or not there's a particular
language. Actually, it is clearly in there because
okay.
Do you have a copy of the previous recall mm-hmm. initiative? Okay, so at the under eligibility, I believe, is where it says department heads.
I don't have a copy of that old one, do you?
Right, I think we're more focused on the judicial, right, because you've removed the department heads language entirely.
There's two items, so okay. That covers the first.
Right. I don't think that's the – I think
okay,
that's
so you're comfortable that that's been changed.
I think that's the lesser issue.
Okay. So what we're looking for is in the Supreme Court – ruling where it indicates that judicial officers shouldn't be recalled before they've been elected.
Right. I guess really what it would come down to, is there any language in the opinion where it says judges, once they've been retained, are elected? That's the I'm paraphrasing what I'm understanding
understand.
Your position to be right. And looking for the justification of that statement in the opinion.
And I know that there was, again, we're looking for the specific thing, but I do know that it did single out the judicial as a separate from an elected office.
Exactly.
In the Supreme Court opinion.
Right.
Right. So what you want to see is that they said, however, once they're elected and retained thing, then they are an elected office.
Exactly. They're appointed for some period of time. They're retained after a period of time. You believe they change character to become an elective official.
Exactly.
After their retention, and I'm just not sure that's what the opinion says. So I'm looking for where in the opinion you get your interpretation.
Right, and I know in the opinion, as you do, that they did object to including judicial as elected.
Right.
Initial, the appointed ones.
Right.
But whether or not they have it.
Well, okay, so to start with, where did you find out? Because I was busy reading. So further on page 7, section B, subsection B, mm-hmm. where they are citing Gorditsky versus Pinckney. They're saying, and making this contention, that we asserted the right to recall a non-elected officer is already contemplated, which we still disagree on that, but further down on that page, the last sentence, provide only that elected state and local officers are subject to recall. So we feel that we have complied now and that they have gone through an election. So I think I'm probably repeating the same thing here. But
right. So is that sufficient to say that if they're an elected?
I feel they are.
State officer.
Okay. So that's fine. If it's not here, it's not here. I mean, okay. If my paraphrase statement
isn't in the opinion.
That's where I'm trying to.
And we did go through this whole process only to be bounced at the end, and we'd like sure. not to be bounced again.
So. I have no intention of wanting you to be bounced. I want you yeah. you brought it forward. I hope you move it. You know, with all the process you're entitled to. I'm just trying to get to where you're trying to take us,
right.
And I need to see that in the opinion because I think the opinion is binding on at least me. That's how I view it. I can't read this rejected and then approve it
right.
if they've said it's not single subject to include judges, if that's one read of the opinion, then you've included judges,
right?
Therefore
still,
I have a problem with a right. So the question is, you've drawn a delineation between an appointed judge and then that judge, having been retained, is now characterized by you. It's your belief that person becomes elected at that point.
Right. Correct.
And so that's the critical. Where in the opinion do you see the Supreme Court majority drawing that change in character after appointment or after retention occurs?
Right. And in the opinion, they did specifically say non-elected guys should not be included. So. I mean, we are complying with that by now we're only including elected. I don't know where in the opinion or if in the opinion it specifically says judges become elected once they've been retained.
Well, so. Do they? Maybe that's the better question.
Yeah. And I think it's an election. You know, I marked the little thing on the ballot. So, and they can be thrown out or kept just like any other.
Well, exactly.
Elected.
Right. They can be thrown out at that point by not retaining them.
Right. And just as if an incumbent is running and he's not voted for, then he's drawn out. So, yeah, that's the question.
Right, and just to make sure, okay, so we jumped kind of to the justices then, but really we felt the way the Constitution read in the definition of has duties and certain powers, that person would also fall under the non-elected. We have totally excluded those now. So,
right, like department heads and stuff. We felt that included the Supreme Court disagreed, so we removed
right.
that. So we at least got that part.
I'm still stuck on the judicial part of it.
Well, I wish I could read through the whole thing and find that specific point, but I don't know if it's even there. So.
Okay.
And I think I'll weigh in here. I have this same concern as Mr. Blake does. You know, of course, last year I was on the title board when we set a title for a more expansive version of this initiative, and the Supreme Court told us that was not acceptable and reversed us. And, you know, I look at this, you folks have certainly made, you know, I think a very good faith effort to address the Supreme Court's concerns by taking out the clearly non-elected appointed officials and then by limiting the recall to only those judges who have already been retained. So that's good. Having said that, I still think that the logic of the Supreme Court's opinion, which binds us, doesn't allow you to make that distinction with the judges. I don't think that standing for retention, or maybe I should say, I don't think that the court would think that having that a judge surviving a retention election transmogrifies them into a an elected official, and then which then brings us back to so the logic of opinion, which is what they really said is that there are two subjects here. One is that your changing the procedures for conducting a recall. And the second one is that you're increasing, you're enlarging the class of people to whom recall applies.
Right.
And with this, you're still enlarging that class of people. There are people right now, judges, who are considered not subject to recall, and if this passes, they will be subject to recall. So I think that logic of it being a second subject, you know, according to the Supreme Court, who we have to follow, still applies.
Now, did the Supreme Court, in their opinion, specifically say that they're not considered elected officials, even though they are elected in retention elections?
Yeah, they did not, but I think the language says the voter should have the power to remove those persons whom the voters elected into office. But the voters don't elect judges into office. They're appointed into office, and essentially, to my mind, what the current retention election is really an alternative to recall. It's saying we don't have recall for these judges, but and we want to insulate you from the political process under, you know, general sort of separation of powers principles.
Right.
And it said, but we don't want a bad judge to be totally unaccountable, so we're going to provide this as essentially an alternative to recall.
It is like a recall,
yeah,
by voters. Yeah.
So because of that, I think that trying to substitute it with these recall provisions is a sort of major substantive change in law, extension of a class to which the Supreme Court has told us in no uncertain terms we can't do.
So if we were to find language in here that said, however, if they're elected for retention, then they are elected officials, then we could proceed, because you'd say the Supreme Court is okay with.
Well, again, Dave Blake, I guess I'd like to see the language.
Yeah, well,
you may or may not say that, but clearly
that
would be important language.
But that's the key that we're on right now.
Is yes, and to add on, there's two things. Again, at the bottom of page 8, you know, they expressly say not appointed officials, and just because they go through retention doesn't make them, they're still an appointed official. They start out as an appointed official. They go through a process by which voters have the opportunity to reject them, but I'm not so sure that the electors never have the opportunity to elect them. The other part of this is that in your original provision and in the revised one, you've expressly included retention elections.
Right.
And so it's important to me that the court chose not to draw that. In other words, they had the language in front
right.
of
they
them.
Knew it was there.
Right? You yeah. used retention elections in your original proposal in 76. And so it wasn't like this is a new concept that you've brought forward. It was on the table back when they considered the issue. Right. I'm correct about that, right?
Yeah, we did mention retention elections in here.
And so I feel like if they wanted to, they certainly had the opportunity to draw that delineation, to make that change in character for a judge to say they're appointed until they are retained, and once they are retained, they are elected. That kind of logic. And they, I don't see it there. That's why my question to you is I want you to tell me where that is, where I missed it, where your interpretation of the character of a judge changes once they are retained by a vote. That's my
yeah. That does seem to be the key point here.
It's the one for me. And I don't know, you're the chair, so I'd give them time, a reasonable sure. amount of time, or for that matter, I don't want to suggest the other alternative, but if you want to take a break and sit down and take a look at it, I would certainly support
we could,
that.
But we value your time as well.
We're not going to give you, I suspect, all day, but
why don't we,
you want to take a few minutes.
Why don't we just take
five
a break
minutes,
for
10 minutes?
Yeah,
okay.
5 to 10.
All right, we'll
thanks.
Do it.